I want to update you on two or three things real quickly. You could be turning to James chapter 1. That's where we're going to be this morning. James chapter 1. Let me give you a special contribution update. It probably is in the announcements, but I did want to mention we had a goal. The goal was really what we needed to meet all of our obligations in the Caribbean, French-speaking West Africa, upstate New York, Guy Hammond, the ministry, interns, and so forth that we support here. And our goal was 1,153,661. It's not approximate, as you can tell. Well, so far, the church has given 1,118,126. You can clap. That means we're just $35,000 away from our targeted amount. I know we'll exceed that as you continue to give. We in New Jersey have given $234,000, which is very, very encouraging. Thank you. Our New Jersey membership giving units, 55% of us have given. I do want to say, I don't know who's given. I don't know the amount you're given, you've given. We just know 55% have given. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. And I do want to appeal to those of you who are in the 45% who haven't participated in special contribution. Please do so. It's not about the money. We're going to exceed the amount we needed. It really is about your gratitude to God. It's about your being part of what we're trying to do and the difference we're trying to make, both in our local area in upstate New York and in the Caribbean and Africa. So it's not too late. Please do something. We encourage you to do that. I know it's going to be in the announcements in much more details, but we remind you that next Sunday is Russ and Sari's last Sunday with us, and we've got a lot of things planned for that. And so you'll be getting more information about that, but definitely it's a bittersweet time. But come ready to give and serve and enjoy and maybe cry a little bit next Sunday. I did want to give you, before we go on, kind of a personal update. You know, I went into the full-time ministry in the fall of 1974. I'm glad I can't see those of you raising your hands that I wasn't even born then. About half of that time, I've served as an elder. I've been in the full-time ministry staff or ministry staff in the New York City church for 26 years, 21 of those years in New Jersey. I mentioned to you about a year ago that I was going part-time in the ministry and have served that way for the past year. But now it's time for another change. So I'm going to be retiring from the full-time ministry October 1st, which is very soon. Still planning on serving as an elder. We have no plans to move away, Mary Lou and I. This is our home. We live here. We love you. We're part of this group. But I just did want you to know, and you can pray as kind of go to a new place in life. I don't know. Maybe I'll take up golf at this age. I don't know. I kind of doubt it. But anyway, there you go. Change. Change. We're going to talk about change a little bit today. Who likes change? Well, it depends on what the change is, doesn't it? Some changes are great. You get a job promotion. Some changes are not. You get a job demotion or lose a job. There are health challenges. There are health improvements. Change. Maybe you've got living in an apartment with a very, very noisy neighbor and you found out they're moving. Awesome change. And then you get a neighbor who's even noisier. There are just a lot of things that happen, huh? Technology, every time I learn something, About a week later, it drastically changes, it seems. It was so much easier when our television had about four knobs and there were three channels, and they went off at midnight and there was a test pattern. That dates how old I am. Change. Sometimes it's the end of a relationship. Sometimes it's the beginning of a relationship. Change is uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm kind of forced to change. A couple of years ago, we traded cars for Mary Lou and got a newer model that has a backup camera. I still don't trust it. I got my driver's license in 1964, I think. That backup camera thing, my car is 15 years old. There's no backup camera. But I still have to turn around and look. I just don't know that that thing's going to tell me the truth. I just don't like this change. Do you like it when people change? Well, it depends again, doesn't it? Sometimes you want them to change. Maybe your wife been trying to get your husband to pick his dirty clothes up off the floor for many years. Guys change. Maybe your husband feeling like you wish your wife would quit asking you to pick up your clothes. Well, just pick them up, just change. But it's hard sometimes. And it can definitely make us insecure in a relationship when there is constant change or insecurity, when you don't know what you're going to expect. Somebody put something in the chat that I have written on my paper here, the same concept. If anything is constant in life, it's that nothing is constant. Change. Here's the thing. God does not change. That's what we're talking about today. God does not change. James 1, I'm going to start just in verse 1 and read all the way through verse 18. So you can follow along. Hopefully, you have a real Bible or another device besides the one you're looking at here on the screen. Okay, James. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. Because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers its plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised those who love him. When tempted, No one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. God does not change. This is a great little letter written by James, inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know, we believe that James, this James, was the half-brother of Jesus, one of the four sons listed of Mary and Joseph. It's a very practical book. And you know, as you go on, talks about not getting angry, talks about what we say, a lot of very, very practical things. Some have kind of referred, compared it a little bit to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But this first part really is about change and keeping perspective. Trials are going to come. So learn perseverance. Circumstances are going to change. He says, don't blame God for our sins and mistakes. You know, we want to find somebody to blame. That's from the beginning of time when God confronted Adam and Eve about eating the fruit. You remember Adam said, well, the woman you gave me, she made me eat. He tried to blame God for it as well as Eve. God says, don't blame me. I am the author of all good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. That's a whole sermon right there that we don't have time to today. God is good. I think one of my favorite spiritual songs right now is The Goodness of God. All my life, he's been faithful. But James goes on and says, God does not change. He says he doesn't change like shifting shadows. It's a astronomical illusion. You know, you watch the sunset, you watch the sunrise, you see the shadows, you see the rotation of the earth, you see the moon. It changes. But God does not change. What if God were like you and me? You ever know somebody, and as you were going to spend time, you wonder, I wonder what kind of mood I'm going to get today. You know, sometimes I like to think of myself as a kind, loving, compassionate person. I think Mary Lou would have to honestly say, there are moments when I can be a little grouchy and on edge. I try not to be, especially with this person who loves me the most and I love the most in this world. What are we like sometimes? You know, again, I feel like in most social settings, I feel like I'm very kind, I'm friendly. You know, when we go to a restaurant, I'm always friendly to the servers, cashiers at grocery stores and retail places. And, you know, I'm just always really kind and friendly. Something can happen when I get alone in my car. Something that's not always great. Now, I just want to say, I don't cuss anybody, but I definitely can get annoyed. And I definitely can tell all the other drivers the things they're doing wrong. And it's just, I'm like, what happened to my kindness and gentle, genteel, gentlemanly demeanor? It changes, unfortunately. When Mary Lou's in the car, I do a lot better with it. God does not change. And you think of so many practical things. His expectations do not change. This passage ends with talking about the word of truth. We're not going to get to judgment and have God say, well, I changed my mind about what I expected. Do you ever work for somebody who continues to change their mind about their expectations without telling you? That's frustrating. You go to school, remember having a professor, this is what's going to be on the exam, study this. And then you get in there and open that paper or whatever and think, this is not what I was told. The expectations changed. Let's don't even talk about going to the DMV. What do they want? God's expectations do not change. We can trust that what He's revealed to us is what He expects of us. He doesn't simply change His mind. I'm thinking about driving today. In all these 60 plus years of driving, I've never really had or been involved in a serious traffic accident, knock on wood somewhere. Few fender benders. A few years ago, I was in a parking lot. I was going to turn right to leave the parking lot. A car was coming with the turn signal on to turn right into the parking lot. So I'm ready to turn. I see the car coming. They're going to turn into the parking lot. So I start out. Well, guess what? They didn't turn into the parking lot. They hit me. And the driver got out of the car saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I changed my mind. Yeah, thank you. And I found out a couple of things. One, it was still my fault. I still got, and number two, I'm telling you, when I'm turning right and somebody's got their turning signal, I don't go until they are really making the turn because they may change their mind. God doesn't change His mind. His promises do not change. James refers to God's promise that we'll receive a crown of life if we persevere. God has a lot of promises. One thing you learn pretty early on with a parent, as a parent, Ashton and Desiree are going to learn this as husband gets a little older. You better watch out what you promise your kids, right? Boy, you talk about losing credibility and disheartening them. And I think what Ephesians 6, where Paul says, fathers exasperating your children, telling them you're going to do something. You get your homework done and you clean your room. We'll go to Six Flags Saturday. Oops, sorry. We'll go again. Oh, no. Sometimes we really mean well when we make promises, but we don't fulfill them. Psalm 145:13 says something that many, many passages say in the Bible. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises. When God promises something, He doesn't change. He's going to fulfill that promise. His provisions do not change. Many, many years ago, when we were young in the ministry, we were with a couple. The parents of one of the couple were very wealthy. The father was an executive in a very significant role, a lot of money. They helped the young couple a lot, helped them buy a house, bought them a car. They couldn't afford it on their own. They helped us. They gave us help consistently for a little while as we were trying to raise three kids before the church had a salary model. But you know what happened? You can get his company was sold. Things changed. He lost what he had. He needed somebody to help him. The provisions that he had provided, he could no longer provide. That's what happens in life, but not God. Paul, from a prison cell, wrote the Philippian church so many positive things, but he said, Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. His love does not change. Just reading through Jeremiah, I love it when I come to Jeremiah 31:3. God has loved us with an everlasting love. Yes, the people were suffering some consequences for their disobedience, but that didn't change God's love. An everlasting love. The love of humans can grow weak, it can grow fickle, it can change. Not God's love. Hebrews 13:5. The writer says, God says, never will I leave you. We can trust him. As the song we sang about a few moments ago says, and we appreciate Mark leading us in such a great way on our Zoom service. God does not change. I don't want to take that for granted. We can build our lives on that. In times of uncertainty, and every day has uncertainty, doesn't it? The church changes, life changes. God does not change. God always answers. We sang, I sought the Lord, and he answered. You know, if you and I are honest, there may be occasions when we see a name come up on our phone and we don't answer for whatever reason. It may be because we are getting ready to go someplace. It may be, a lot of different reasons. God never says, I don't have time to hear from you. God does not change. The truth of his word does not change. James says he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. The word of truth, that's a profound statement, isn't it? The word of truth. You know, truth doesn't change. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. And so, as we follow God and as we follow his word, we used to sing a song. I started to ask Mark to, if we could lead it, and maybe it's extra well that we didn't since we are on the screen like this. Because it's been a long time since we sang it. Only the old timers would know it, but it was called Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in him who will not leave you. Because God doesn't change. We follow him. We trust him. We follow his word. I like to hike. I'm not a serious go on 4-day excursions in the wilderness hiker, but I like to get out in the woods and follow the trails and pray and we live in an age, I generally follow the trails that are marked. They have little markings or have a little red thing or a yellow thing or a green thing or something. Those things are very, very helpful to me. And sometimes I think about one day this week I was out, I thought about the people who first came through the country where I was, whether they were Native Americans or whoever they were, who didn't have any of those markings, who had to figure it out. And you know, sometimes it makes the news when somebody gets lost in the woods, in the wilderness, for a few days. There was somebody recently in the news who was lost for several days before he was found. You know, almost without exception, the same thing has happened to each of those people. They got off the trail. They got away from the markings. They tried to do it on their own, and they got lost. We have God's word as our trail guide. We have God's love. We have God's assurance. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have God's consistent promises. He does not change. He leads us. He guides us. He will take us home to be with him. He's given us his unchanging word, his standard, that we can build our lives on it, that we can follow it, that we can follow him, that we can be with him one day. God does not change. And I'm so grateful for that in this changing world. And you know, as we take communion, we are remembering the universal sacrifice, the forever sacrifice that Jesus made for us so that we can be forgiven. And God won't change his mind. He's promised to forgive us as we, you know, follow Jesus. And he's promised as we seek a relationship with him and to follow him, to overlook the times we fall, to be with us, to guide us, not to change the rules along the way, not to change the expectations. And the cross is the demonstration of God's unchanging love for humanity, for mankind, for you and me. I'm going to pray and we'll take some time, obviously, individually, or many of you are gathered in little groups on the screen to remember what Jesus did for us, to remember God's sacrifice, to remember Jesus' sacrifice, and to know that we serve a God we can hold to his unchanging hand, as we also sing sometimes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you that you don't change the rules. You don't change the standard. You don't change your expectations. But you offer us forgiveness through Jesus. You offer us eternal life. You offer us an unchanging standard. You offer us a way to live no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the political climate, no matter where we live on this globe, you tell us how to live so that we can please you, so that we can follow Jesus and know you. Thank you for this time to take the bread and the cup and to remember what Jesus did, to remember his sacrifice, to remember your sacrifice. Thank you for your unchanging love. Thank you for giving us this very specific, practical time to remember Jesus' blood and his body that were given for us. Bless us as we remember and as we reflect. Thank you for being the unchanging God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.